passing resolutions and ordinances, setting things, setting additional mandates and restrictions in place. And we take the correct path and ask for permission and are seemingly going through a much more difficult process, I think. But anyway, if that is something that the assembly decides we want to do, that's the path we have to take. I did get responses from two people between yesterday and today regarding the proposed Section 8 to the Marine Yard use agreement. And I will make those updates and get them out to the full fisheries working group tomorrow to take a look at those. Again, the vast majority of those are directly related to and just sort of specify for the Marine Yard parts that are included in Mandate 17, which is the commercial, the independent commercial fishing vessel mandate that came out recently. I want to thank Joan Sargent for talking about mass distribution. She actually had some more updated numbers than I had from this morning, but there's still well over somewhere around 150 masks available at the library. So anybody who may be listening, please, if you need a mask, call or email masks@wrangell.com, and we can make those available to you through the library. And I also want to extend a thank you to all those folks who have sewed their hearts out from making masks for people around the community. The other thing I wanted to respond to was Mr. Lockaby's comments about the state critical, essential and critical workforce infrastructure that is outlined and the federal outline for essential businesses. The city and borough of Wrangell has no mandate in place, has nothing in place in addition to what the state or the federal government has. So there is, we are not restricting businesses. And in fact, we have, in conformance with the state mandates, suggested that anybody who qualified as an other business that could practice social distancing and meet the mandate for congregates of 10 or what was at that time 10 or less, which was in attachment A number 20 that then moved to 18. We encouraged all businesses to continue to operate that could. So I just want to be clear, we have not ever tried to keep a business from operating that was able to operate under the mandates. We've not done that. The other thing I want to mention is as we are opening things up, Dr. Zink specifically mentioned in Monday's very short briefing that we need to make sure that we are continuing to social distance and practice good hygiene, things like wearing masks, because that is what's going to help continue to keep that curve low while we are continuing to open up. There's more movement, there's more activity, there's more people coming to our communities. So just because things are opening up doesn't mean those precautions don't need to be kept in place. So I just want to encourage everybody to continue to use those. That is what's going to allow us to keep our curve at zero here, which we've been very lucky. And Joan Sargent spoke to about this evening as well. Both Captain Spray and Carol Rushmore, our economic development director, are on the line. I'd like to ask Captain Spray if she has an EOC update. She's welcome to give that at this time, Mr. Mayor.
Please. Captain Spray, are you on the line? You might be muted still, Dorian. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Lisa has covered it very well of the changes and updates. And I appreciate her, Steve, you addressing the question regarding Mandate 14 that Mr. Lockaby had brought up. I think you guys are doing a great job. I don't have anything really in addition to that at this time. I apologize.
Thank you very much, Captain Spray. I appreciate it. And your efforts and those of the other volunteers last night with the search that we had for a missing person. So thank you. Carol, did you want to give an update on the Reopen Wrangell Committee and some of the ideas being discussed there?
Yes, if I could. The chair, Maya DeLong, was not able to be at the meeting, so asked me to sort of give a quick overview. So the Reopen Wrangell Task Force was just established last week, and they've already had two meetings. There's been actually quite a bit of action that's occurring pretty fast, and so we're trying to get it together to make sure it's accurate and concise information. The overarching purpose is really to have all businesses in Regal reopen in a responsible manner, and the goals really set forth by the task force were to provide information, resources, guidance, support, anything to help them facilitate this reopening in a safe and responsible manner. So last Friday, shortly after the first meeting, which was on Thursday, a 10-question survey was put out. It was put to numerous email lists around. We posted on social media. It's on the homepage of Regal.com. And this is for all businesses, not just storefront downtown businesses, because the state's mandate is impacting to all businesses. And so it's for contractors, plumbers, electricians, bookkeepers, accountants, you name it. So we're requesting that businesses take, 5 to 10 minutes to fill out the survey. It will be probably available for the next week. And we will put together sort of a compiled report of the responses. But it's basically to allow the committee to collect data to help determine and try to understand where the businesses are in the process of reopening, what needs they might have, what equipment or supplies they might require, and what their concerns are for reopening. Because there are some businesses that have already spent, we had over 25 as of yesterday, and there are some that are very concerned about reopening. So we're trying to collect that data so the committee, the task force, can really identify how best to help them. They're working on putting sort of a poster together, not only for the businesses, but for the patrons and the community as a whole, to provide consistency of information, as far as reminding everybody to wear cloth masks, do the social distancing, hand wash, some of those basic things to try to keep the curve down. They're working on summary information for the various businesses and what each type sort of needs based off of mandate 16. And again, that first weekend, there were, three changes in that mandate. So it continually changes, and they're going to try to stay on top of that and provide additional information. They're working also on a newsletter with the hope to be able to provide this sort of documentation, printable forms, links to key sites that can help them. So they're moving forward with that, and that should probably be out within the week. And it's also for the community as a whole, because some of these mandates also dictate what the patrons have to do for these stores. So it's trying to get that information out, disseminate that information, and they're working behind the scenes to try to make that happen. And that's it. There'll be another meeting next week, and hopefully the poster and the newsletter will be out within the week.
Mr. Mayor, I would just add one other thing. We also had a conversation at our EOC meeting this morning about some carrot options with regard to mask wearing around the community rather than the stick option of going to a mandate. And so we'll be following up on a couple of those. They're not ready for a discussion prime time yet, but we're looking to see if those are some options we might be able to do that would incentivize mask wearing as a positive thing around the community as well.
Excellent.
And I think that is all I have right now on the COVID briefing, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for City Manager Von Bargen or Carol or Captain Sproul? Yes, go ahead, one, do over.
Of course, do over. It's what I do. We will have an updated budget work session calendar and some information on the FY20 budget out to you within the next couple of days.
Thank you.
Joyce and I have been working on that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Ann.
Lisa, do you know how many communities in the state are mandating mask wearing? I only know of one, but there may be others. I'm just not sure.
The only one that I know of that has passed a mask mandate is Petersburg. But how many others are doing that in various forms, I don't know.
Okay. I know Dutch Harbor did too. But that's the only two that I guess I knew Petersburg. I'd forgotten that. Yeah. Okay. I just wonder how I haven't talked to my daughter, but I just wonder how Petersburg is enforcing it, like at the door of the grocery store. Is someone standing saying you can't come in unless you have a mask on?
I don't know that. I did hear from someone that Petersburg is issuing $500 tickets if you don't have a mask on.
Oh, well, that would be encouraging. Okay, thank you.
Mayor.
Assemblymember Decker.
I just wanted to say the same thing Lisa just said, that we heard there were tickets issued in Petersburg for $500 a pop.
Okay, thank you. Kim?
Captain Spray said that Cordova actually has a mandate as well.
Sorry, who does?
Cordova.
Cordova, thank you.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, that is not what we're planning with the carrot option.
Okay.
Anybody else? Anything for City Manager Von Bargen? Not seeing anything. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Captain Spray. And thank you, Carol. Appreciate that very much. We'll go to our city clerk's file.
Nothing other than what's in my small little report.
This is a small little report. Thank you very much, Kim. Any questions for the city clerk? Not seeing anything. Okay. Mayor and Assembly business. Does anybody have any reports or comments that they would like to make? Okay, I'm gonna talk a little bit about some of the, Julie, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just mentioned again, United Fishermen of Alaska is holding a webinar tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You must register ahead of time, and the webinar is all about what Health Mandate 17 means for fishermen, and it gives you the opportunity to ask questions of four different state folks who were a part of crafting it, so they can get maybe some clarity about all the different components of it. It will be recorded, and UFA will put it on their website as well. So if you're busy tomorrow at 10 a.m., you can still watch it later. And then we're looking at potentially doing more of those, you know, throughout the state and different times. So.
Thank you. Anybody else have a report? Julie, you have some? Oh, your hand's down. Okay. Anybody else with a report? Okay. I'll just report on some of the things that I've participated in both last week and this week. There is a trend where we are seeing the state is coming out and making statements both from the governor and various people at the Department of Health that are basically reporting that there is that they've worked with the communities and so for example with the fishing mandate the governor characterized that came out to the communities and we worked with our community partners to create this and local government and as I'm talking with other mayors through the region and throughout the state that is not the case. We were not consulted on that. As a matter of fact, we were given it with less than 24 hours to respond. And after we squawked a fair bit, they gave us 48, and then it didn't actually wind up coming out until a little bit after that. But today I participated in a meeting where the Department of Health had said that they had worked with the hospitals to during fisheries discussions to ensure that hospitals are able to handle the surge. So I contacted Letha and asked her if that was the case, if we had participated in these meetings and had we looked at our surge for both fisheries, but also for other activities that would be bring people in our community. And she said, no, not at all. That's not the case at all. The surge for this hospital is designed for this population, the resident population. And there's no surge plan for fisheries. There's no surge plan for tourism. There's no surge plan for processors or tourists coming on their private boats. That is not how they planned it, and they don't have the capacity to do that. And so the state has come out and said, yes, it's all taken care of and we've got it all covered, and we don't. That is the reality. And we are being told over and over again that they want our, that if we want to open up locally for folks and have a say, and then when we check in and say, hey, we want to have a say, there's no process given to us to have a say. So I'm deeply concerned. I'm deeply concerned how this whole fisheries thing's been rolled out, deeply concerned where I see cruise ships heading and the information that we're getting on that. And I just can't sit by any longer and listen to the platitudes from the state. I think they're going to place our community at risk. And I know that I've been encouraged to keep a sunny disposition on all this and look at the optimistic side of things. But unfortunately, in leadership, you also have to take a look at what the potential impact could be to a community in terms of life safety. And I understand very well that there's going to be economic impacts, but I'm not willing to sacrifice people for economic impacts. So I'm pushing back as much as possible, but I'm raising this as a concern to this assembly as we move forward. I am not seeing the collaboration out of this state. And it's not just here, it's Petersburg, the state, in two meetings ago on the fisheries. So my hope is moving forward that we see a more cooperative approach from the state, and that the state listens to us. We start up against it on our capacity to help us throttle back on the number of people coming. Because right now, short of a few cruise ships, I'm anticipating it's going to be business as usual. And that may work out, but it may not. So I know tomorrow I've asked Lisa in our EOC to be discussing what our overflow capacity is going to be and how we're going to ensure that we're able to deal with a bigger issue if it was to happen. So that's what I'm seeing. And I know it's not a very rosy, sunny update, but that's definitely what I'm seeing from across the state. All right. Mayor and assembly appointments, there are none. Public hearing, we don't have one tonight. Unfinished business, there is none. 13, new business. A, approval of a senior property tax exemptions that were received after the March 1st deadline, but before the late filing grace period.
Move to approve senior property tax exemption received after March 1st deadline, but before the late filing grace period. This is Patty.
Second.
This is Ann. I'll second it.
Ann seconded. Thank you. Discussion. Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. 13B, approval to postpone the May 2nd, 2020 approved tax-free day to June 6th, 2020, unless the governor has not lifted the restrictive mandate to allow retail establishments to open. Should be a motion. Kim, is this the item that we were discussing in terms of?
Right. So if I can, please. If I can, Mayor. So on this item, I had put that it was approved under the consent agenda, and that was my original course of action. However, I added it to under new business because I think it deserves a discussion. And so if somebody could please make a motion to approve postponing the previously approved tax-free day of May 2nd to June 6th for discussion purposes.
Can we please have that motion?
I'll move what she said. To okay. Zan. I move to approve moving the tax-free date from May 2nd to June 6th, pending changes in our situation, I guess. That's the best way to put it, pending the COVID. She can clean that up.
We have a second motion. Thank you. Discussion. Yes, Julie.
So I'm okay with this. Something that struck me thinking about this, I think, you know, June 6th is a long way away, so there's a lot that could happen between now and then. But at this point, I think, you know, putting on people's radar screen would be okay. But I would like to consider making it a tax-free day with mask required in order to get your tax-free. So it would be a positive way to reinforce people wearing masks at businesses, and they get a tax credit if they're there wearing their mask.
So then are you requesting an amendment to the postponement motion?
I will if I think others would support it.
Well, I think the best way to do that, Julie, is to make the amendment and then have a discussion on it.
Well, can I say something first?
Yes, please go ahead.
So we have to remember that even though the assembly approves these tax-free days, this is a chamber event. So, I mean, my suggestion would be to maybe speak with Stephanie at the chamber and see if she'd be in favor of tacking that on. But I don't know if it would be appropriate for us to mandate that or make the motion and say, yes, we'll do it, but...
Well, the other thing that I might just mention is that it's a long ways away, and we can always, if we're postponing it, then it's going to go forward. So there's not going to come back up for another vote. So really, to Assembly Member Decker's question, I agree, and I don't think it's wrong of us to put in a mandate with our loss of revenue for that day. I appreciate that this chamber puts it on, but it is our revenue. So perhaps if that's important to the assembly, it may not be a bad amendment to make. Julie, you want to make that amendment or do you want to let it wash?
No, I'll move to amend the motion to state the consumer must be wearing a mask in order to get the tax-free purchase.
Okay, it's been moved. Do we have a second?
I'll second it, Patty.
Been seconded by Patty. Any discussion? Bill, your hand is still up. Did you want to say something else? Drew, go ahead.
I know that... the conversation about the difficulty or feeling wrong about forcing them to do that is there. But I also know, and maybe Mr. Powell can speak to this, that I realize that the vendors have difficulty setting their tills up and everything to do the tax-free day. It requires them going in and changing their computer systems often to calculate it differently and not put in the taxes. And so to enforce one customer versus another might be a logistical nightmare for people. Just throwing that possibility out there, but anyway.
Mr. Powell, your name, Assemblymember Powell, your name was brought forward there. Do you want to respond to that?
Well, Drew is correct. The only other way you could do it is, and I don't want to do it, is write everybody's name down that it's tax-free.
Okay.
So it'd be really hard to do.
So logistically, it's difficult with the till.
Okay. You couldn't do it. I mean, you couldn't do it. You'd have to individually write every name down that got tax-free and then submit that to the city, that it was tax-free income. You just couldn't do it. Not on a computerized till you can't. On a normal till you probably could, but not my computerized one. I can't differentiate one day to the next.
Okay. Any further discussion? A poll vote on the amendment to also include masks being mandatory in order to receive the tax-free. Go ahead, Julie.
I'm sorry. I had a thought that there may be a way to do this, but it might take some consideration, and maybe it's something that we can't mandate. But for instance, instead of making a difference for the people that are wearing masks, make it different for the people that aren't wearing masks, hopefully are a very small number. And there might be a way to just add a 7% charge at the bottom of the receipt. I'm not sure, everybody's system might be different, so it might.
Okay. Mr. Assemblymember Powell?
So I'm going to have to agree with, I'm sorry, Kim, I almost forgot your name. I'm going to have to agree with Kim and say that I don't, if they want to do something, the chamber wants to do something. I understand what you said, Mr. Mayor, but this would be a nightmare for stores, I guarantee it. If they want to do something like the chamber wants to give out a prize or something for the people that are wearing masks, and they put their name in something and go along with that. But to take tax on or tax off or do any other thing like that, you're going to put too much burden on the stores themselves.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Ann.
I also can see this being a huge headache. Although I think it's a good idea, I can see people getting very upset. With this kind of thing put in. I think it's an excellent idea, and a prize, maybe a substantial prize put up, put your name in a drawing. If you're wearing a mask, if you're not wearing a mask, you can't put your name in. That's a viable idea, but for the store owner and the bookkeeping end of it, yikes. But it's a good idea, just I don't see how we can do it. Just my opinion.
Thanks, Dan. Assembly Member Powell.
Well, she just brought up another thing too. I don't know if you could you might talk to a lawyer, because when you start talking prizes and stuff like that, I don't know if you can segregate out one group of person on something like that. I don't know if you can do that legally.
Okay. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
The chamber does, when they do some of their promotions, if you buy something, you know, they stamp you for every $10 you spend. But if you don't spend a minimum of $10, you don't get a stamp. So they're segregating that, I think. So I'm wondering if you go in and you spend money and you have a mask on, you get a stamp, you know, for how in increments, then you go and you turn that into the chamber like they have with some of their other promotions, and you get a ticket for every stamp you have, and that goes into the drawing. And so the more businesses you go into with a mask, the more stamps you get, and the more chances you have to win. Perhaps that's something they can do similar to their other promotions.
So I'm going to bring us back down here from generating ideas on what we can do on the mask wearing to, we have a motion on the floor. So I'm going to bring conversation back to the motion. Is there any other discussion directly related to the amendment of the motion? Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Okay, this is on the amendment. Make sure, I'm unmuted. Okay. Assembly members Morrison?
No.
Decker?
No.
Powell?
No.
Larrabee?
No.
Gilbert?
No.
And Mayor Pasanka?
No. Okay, back to the original motion, postpone until the 20th. Is there any further discussion on that motion? And I would encourage us to give further direction regarding masks to to our city manager to deal directly with the chamber on that to see if there's a way to incentivize that. I think that's Assemblymember Decker's intention. I think it's an admirable intention, but yeah. I don't think it's up to us to generate those ideas. So any further discussion on the motion? I'm not seeing any. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Assemblymembers Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's files available for assembly review in the borough clerk's office. Item 15, executive session for the borough clerk's annual evaluation.
I move pursuant to Alaska Statutes 44.62.320, Section C2, that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically the borough clerk's evaluation.
And second.